For all of you who came here planning for a Father's Day message, you're not going to get it. I'm sorry. I tried. I really did. I worked and worked on this sermon. And the sad thing is, this movie that I'm preaching on has really strong father themes. So it seemed like when I took on this task that it would be so easy. And then about like 10 o'clock at night last night, I was at work. I'd written maybe like half a paragraph. And I just wasn't clicking, so I just decided to try something else, and this is what you get. So happy Father's Day. Okay, so imagine with me, you can close your eyes if you want. Sometimes I do that at work, and people just think I'm sleeping, but really I'm just imagining I'm off on some awesome adventure instead of working. Anyways, so imagine that you're not in this church. In fact, you're not even in this country. Instead of those comfy pews and temperature-controlled environment, you're in fact in a hut. A drafty hut. In fact, it's a hut that just got fixed up after nearly burning to the ground like last week. Now, this hut that you find yourself in is on an island in the middle of the freezing cold ocean, and the only way on or off is by boat. Now, you might be thinking, well, that doesn't sound very nice, and you would be right. And sadly, I haven't got to the worst part yet. On top of living in this ratty, nearly burnt down hut on an island in the middle of the ocean, there's one other thing that kind of makes life difficult, and that is that every now and then your quaint little home is attacked by fire-breathing dragons. Like that one. I don't know if you can see him, actually. There's a dragon over there. And don't let his cute exterior put you at ease. He's a killer. Didn't see that coming, did ya? So, your already hard life is now filled with constant fear of dragony death. As the beasts come to destroy your village and make off with your island's sheep. Because it would appear that this village's main resource is sheep. I can't figure out what else they really do there, but harvest sheep. Do you harvest? Yeah, you harvest. I don't know. So it's kind of like New Zealand, but cooler, because you're all Vikings. So you can imagine fighting dragons, it's a tricky business. It's extremely dangerous. And not just any normal warrior can do that. So, for this job, you're going to need someone big, someone brave, like a mix of like Superman and Batman. And at the time I wrote this, I didn't know who fought dragons, so I just kind of put in someone who fights dragons. But now I thought of Arthur from the, from Camelot. He fought dragons. So Batman, Superman, and Arthur all rolled into one. And they fight these dragons with their fists alone. Every once in a while they'll bite them, maybe. I don't know. Well, luckily, the chief of your village is just that type of man. He's the mix of, Superman, Batman, and Arthur. The only problem is he's almost always off doing Viking-y things with his buddies. He's like that guy who just goes off with his buddies when, you're at home slaving away. Hey, a Father's Day reference. Well, not a good one. X that on the Father's Day reference. So, he takes the ships for a joyride in an attempt to rid the world of this dragony threat, and so your big bad defender, this guy who's protecting your village, is gone most of the time. And with him gone, what hope do you really have if the dragons attack? Is there anyone really who can defend your village? But wait. Good news. This chief guy has a son. So, problem solved, right? Who better to fill the shoes of this big, massive warrior chief than his very own son, who's, he's raised since he was a toddler to be a killer Viking dragon slayer. And then in walks our new hero, and he's like, 4'11", 95 pounds, and super duper weak looking. Just this big, this thin. He can barely lift a sword, let alone fight with it. Not really the hero you were expecting, and you're not alone in this belief. Honestly, his father thinks he's a huge disappointment to both himself and Vikings everywhere. That's Hiccup, the hero of our story. He's the unformidable son of the big bad chief Stoic in the movie How to Train Your Dragon. Poor Hiccup was not born as the big, brawly, dragon-fighting son that Stoic had desired, and it appeared that with every effort Hiccup makes to impress his dad and to be this, strong Viking guy, it drives them further apart. And it just is just a constant reminder that he is, in fact, not this big warrior. So as you can imagine, this is pretty heartbreaking for Hiccup. He strives every day to make his father proud and to be this hero, and throughout his journey, he just kind of makes things worse. And then, so he wants to be someone else, and then throughout the movie, he kind of realizes, you know what, maybe he shouldn't be. Maybe he is exactly who he should be. Now, while this is an animated film with Vikings and dragons, there are actually some incredibly powerful lessons mixed in there, just hidden underneath the wings, you could say. Some lessons that we can take to heart and really learn if we're willing to. And maybe by looking at these lessons today, in the church, in a nice safe environment, we can come to the conclusion that come to the same conclusions that Hiccup did without having to catch a dragon. I mean, we can save that for plan B if you want. Good luck, if that's your plan. So the first lesson we can learn from this is you do not look down on yourself for being who you are. Poor Hiccup, he starts the movie wishing he could be someone else, or at least be like someone else. He watches as the other kids his age do Viking-y things and look all cool-like as they help with the dragon attacks, as he sits on the sidelines weakly wishing he could be a better Viking, a better son, you know, just a better person in general. But what he doesn't understand is that he doesn't need to be. It takes half the film for him to realize that he doesn't have to feel bad about being who he is, because who he is not bad. We're going to go to a story in the Bible that kind of emphasizes this. You can kind of see maybe another character who had this kind of same scenario going on. And it's in 1 Samuel 16:1. So God decides, at this point, Saul was the king of Israel. God had kind of appointed Saul. Saul became the king. And then Saul kind of just is not a great king. He doesn't really follow the Lord. And God decides that, you know what? Saul is no longer going to have my blessing as king. He removes his blessing, his spirit, from Saul. And he turns to this prophet named Samuel and he says, "How long are you going to mourn for Saul now that I have rejected him as king of Israel? Fill a flask with olive oil and go. I'm sending you to Jesse in Bethlehem because I've selected one of his sons to be king." So basically God says, that last king was a flop. I think it's time to choose a new one. Samuel, will you do the honors? So Samuel makes this trip to see Jesse and his sons, right? He's going to go pick this new king. And when he gets there, he sees Jesse and he says, "Hey, could you line up your sons for me? I want to see them and bless one to be king." So Jesse brings out all these kids, his sons, and he sees this one son in particular. It's the oldest. His name is Eliab. And he looks at this man, and this guy is, you know, the essential king. You look at this guy and you see, hey, king, that's him. Duh. This was a good trip. Done. So he looks at him and says, "Certainly, here in the Lord's presence is his anointed king, the God." And then, he probably started like moving forward, like, "Here we go, we're going to anoint this guy." And God says, "Whoa, stop. Don't look at his appearance or how tall he is, because I have rejected him. God does not see as humans see. Humans look at outward appearances, but the Lord looks into the heart." So Samuel has Jesse parade all of his kids in front of him, and so they lead them one by one as they pass them through, and each one looks just as kingly as the first one, and he just keeps expecting one of these, you know, very kingly-looking sons. I mean, obviously, Jesse had some very good genes, I guess, because every single one looks like a king to this guy. Well done. And so they're walking by, and God just sits there, and he's like, "No, no, not that one, no." And so 7 more sons walk by. So by now, you can only imagine that Samuel is getting confused, like, "God, yeah, sent me all the way out here to anoint this new king, and we just passed over all these kingly sons. I mean, what's up?" So he asked Jesse, you know, kind of at a loss. He's like, "Do you have any other sons? I mean, we just walked through all these, and none of them are the right king." And Jesse's probably just like, "Well, yeah, but, I mean, I still have the youngest one, but he's out in the field. I mean, he's still tending to the sheep. It's not the one you're looking for." And he says, "Bring him to me." And so in comes this youngest son, and lo and behold, he is in fact the one God had chosen to be king. Now, this is not who they would have picked as king, not as who we probably would have seen him be like, "No, that can't be it. Bring back that Eliab guy. He looked pretty kingly." But like Hiccup, there was this potential inside David that no one saw. So we live our lives putting ourselves down for not having that perfect body or the newest car or that cool new phone. I got a cool new phone, so I'm actually on that one. Doing good there. Anyway, so you put yourself down thinking, you know, you don't have that perfect look. You don't have that perfect this. You don't have that perfect that. You're not keeping up with the Joneses. You're not, you know, hitting the gym enough. You really like cake. You know, that's just how it works. When you look at yourself in the mirror and think, "Yeah, I wouldn't choose that." But remember, God doesn't look at any of that. He doesn't look at the outward appearance, but rather what is in the heart, which sounds kind of cheesy and probably won't help you navigate the high school hallways any better, but it might help you get through the day, and then the next day, and then the next day, and the next day, and eventually you're going to look back and see that time that you looked in the mirror and questioned whether or not you were worthy of being yourself, and you're going to just realize how completely ridiculous it was that you even thought that at that time. And you continue on, understanding that God looks in your heart and not at your outward appearance. Now, there's another lesson we can learn from Hiccup's life, and it's this. Do not try to be someone you aren't just to please others. See, Hiccup desperately wanted to be like all those fierce Vikings and fight dragons and kill them so that he could prove his worth as a Viking and as a son to his father. So he went from looking down on himself and thinking, man, I'm not really the best Viking, to just deciding, you know what, I'm going to be like them. So he decides to make this change in himself. He doesn't want to be himself anymore. He wants to be this cold-hearted killer. But he wasn't a cold-hearted killer. I mean, he wasn't someone who enjoyed taking the life of dragons. But he was so desperate to be like the others, Vikings, that when he finally catches this dragon, and he has it all wrapped up in his net and everything, and he pulls out his knife, and he kind of has this moment where he's going to choose whether or not he is going to change who he is, just so he can fit in with the other Vikings. You see, sometimes life can be scary. Soon after David was anointed, he wound up at the Israelites' battle camp, looking into the field of battle, and he saw this giant of a man. His name was Goliath. So David goes to Saul and says, hey man, you got a giant problem. I'm going to fight that giant. And Saul takes one look at this David, and these are his exact this is what he says. You can't fight this Philistine. You're just a boy. But he's been a warrior ever since he was your age. So, I mean, takes one look at David and is like, whoa, man, you're tiny. That guy's huge. Also, he's very much more experienced than you. You've never fought in a battle. So this is just a huge mistake altogether. And then David gives this really riveting speech about lions, tigers, and bears. Oh my, it was a good one. And so Saul decides to let him try it. He's like, okay, you know what? That was a very riveting speech. I'll let you fight this guy. But not like you are now. I mean, let's face it. This kid is just that. I mean, he's just a kid. He's untrained, inexperienced, and downright tiny. So Saul tries to change David into a warrior who could face off against a giant. It says Saul put his battle tunic on David. He put this bronze helmet on David's head and dressed him in all this armor. And David fastens Saul's sword around his clothes, and then he tries to walk. But he had never practiced doing this. He says, I can't walk in these things. So David realizes, that's not who I am. He's not this big, bad soldier. He wasn't this sword-toting fighter. No, he was who he was. And when he fought those wild animals, he relied on skill and God's guiding force. So he says, I've never had any practice doing this. So David takes all the armor off, all the helmet, the sword, all that. David realizes that he is who he is, and he doesn't have to change to be any better than that. Saul looked at him and saw this small boy, and guess what? That is exactly what David was. But God didn't care, and in the end, it didn't matter that he was a small boy, because he slays Goliath on the field that day and leads the Israelites to victory. Remember those kingly brothers of his that we were talking about earlier? Yeah, they were there. They were on the field. But none of them stood up to Goliath, even though they were the warriors. They were the ones that you would look at and believe that they're the ones. You see, when Hiccup was faced with this decision to be who he was or change into something that he wasn't, he decides to be who he is. He decides to show mercy to this dragon and let him go. And that is what makes all the difference. There's a reason you are the way you are. If God needed another kingly man who was too scared to fight a giant, then he would have made David a kingly-looking man who was too scared to fight a giant. Instead, he designed David to be the perfect David he could be. Why should we question who we are when we know who designed us and we know that he is perfect? How can we claim God is perfect and then question our own design? This leads me to the last lesson you can learn, and that is that God Or do not forget that God designed you with a purpose in mind. Now, Hiccup was this scrawny, weak little Viking that didn't look like he could amount to anything in the village. And yet, it's because Hiccup was a scrawny, weak-looking Viking that he was the way he was. His size and all that kind of led him into the path of being who he was. And when it came down to take the dragon's life, he spared it. This is because his whole life had led to this moment. He was who he was, and he wasn't going to change it. And by doing this, Hiccup finds out that dragons aren't this evil villain that they had thought they had been this whole time. Through this discovery, Hiccup leads his village and dragons into a new relationship of coexistence. It's a peace unlike anything they'd ever known. And it was all because Hiccup was Hiccup. Had he been a brawly Viking and the man-child like his dad had wanted, or, you know, like the other peers around him had been, when he had that dragon in sight, he probably would have just gone and killed it. He would have taken this dragon to his dad and said, "Look at this. I have killed this dragon. I am the son you deserve, the son you want. Hail to me." But instead, or if he had done that, if he had killed this dragon when he had the chance, been the person he thought he needed to be, changed the way he was, then the fighting would have gone on and on and on and on and on. And it would have just been this continuous cycle of violence, death, danger, all this terrible thing. But because he was the way he was, that's not how it happened. He was who he was, and because of that, something wonderful was able to happen. David was a young child working in the fields. A shepherd boy that you would never pick for a king. He didn't look like his brothers. He wasn't big. He wasn't strong like them. He had these brothers around overshadowing with every step. He probably lived his life thinking those thoughts. I am the youngest son. I am, you know, the least qualified for anything. And yet, David went on to be the best king Israel ever had. Had he been more like his brothers, had he been more like, you know, a Saul, who knows what would have happened? I mean, he could have gone on to be like Saul, and then in the end, maybe Israel would have fallen sooner. Maybe, but because he was not this king that you would expect, he ended up being this king that they deserved. See, God doesn't look at that stuff. No, you see, God designed you with a purpose. He made you look the way you do, made you as smart as you are, made you as funny, as tall, as short, as everything, so that you could be in the perfect position for him when he needed you. Now, there will be times when you look at someone and think, man, I want to be like that. I wish I was more like them. And God will say, no, no, no. I made you this way because I have glorious plans for you. Plans that would only ever work if you are the person I designed you to be. I have other plans for that guy. You know, you look at that guy and say, I wish I had him. You know, God has plans for him. He designed him to look that way for his purpose. But you have your own purpose aside from that. You were designed for this, and I wouldn't have you any other way. God doesn't make mistakes. You know, we say that all the time. God doesn't make mistakes. We'll preach that till we're blue in the face and the cows come home, as they say. But when we look in the mirror, we surely don't believe that. You know, we can say it all we want. God doesn't make mistakes. He's perfect. But when you look in the mirror, then he's like, well, maybe he made one. God says that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, and that he knows the plans he has for you. Who are we to doubt in God? Who are we to question his decisions? Surely there are things I wouldn't mind being different. I wish my hair wasn't receding, for one. But maybe, just maybe, God is looking at me and thinking, one day that bald head of yours is going to be part of something greater. It will play a part in the plans I have for you, and if it were any other way, it would not work out. I don't know. I don't know about you, but I trust God far more than I trust myself. And if that's the case, then I need to trust the way he designed me. I need to trust the purpose he has for me. He designed me to be me and to be no one else. So there's no reason I should ever feel bad about being me or being who I am. I should never, ever try to be someone else. Give up what makes me, me. And I should never, ever forget that God made me the way I am. He has a plan for my life. He has a plan for your life. I mean, you may never truly understand, but allow him to shape you in the way he needs to. And if that means that I don't look like the person next to me, if it means that I don't have that perfect body, if it means that I don't have the perfect voice, if it means my hair is falling out at the very, very early age of 26, I mean, seriously, 26. It's not. Well, you know what? Then bless the Lord for it. Because he has incredible plans for me. God forbid my stupid earthly thinking ever get in the way of that. Because when it comes to me, or to who I wish I was and who God plans for me to be, I will give it to God every single time, and I will praise him for it every day. Will you pray with me? Dear Lord, I pray that you'll just be with us every day and remind us as we wake up in the morning and we look in the mirror and maybe don't see exactly what we'd like to, maybe don't see the body we'd like, or maybe we wake up and it's just, we just aren't who we wish we were, Lord. And you know what? I just pray that you'll remind us every day to say thank you for that, to say thank you that we aren't maybe that person we wish we are. We don't look the way that we might want to, Lord, because I know that you have great plans for us and you have designed us to be the way we are for our purpose, Lord. And if we were to look the way that we wish we did sometimes, if we were to be the way that we wish we were, Lord, maybe your plans would not work out the way they need to, Lord, and it just wouldn't work out in your, for your glory, and it would be our fault for trying to change what you've already designed us to be, Lord. And I just want to pray that you'll remind us that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, Lord, and that you have a purpose for our lives. That's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to a message presented at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the Donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.